Thank you. So like we just stated, I'm working on some projects around the challenges to transitioning patients from pediatric to adult healthcare settings. And although all patients transition from pediatric to adult healthcare settings, it's particularly difficult in patients who have special healthcare needs because of their increased utilization of healthcare services and need for care coordination. So just to begin, I have no relationships to disclose. So just to start off, what is transition? And transition can be defined as the purposeful, planned movement of adolescents and young adults with chronic physical and medical conditions from child-centered to adult-oriented healthcare systems. And the goal of transition is really to maximize lifelong functioning and potential through the provision of high-quality, developmentally appropriate health services that continue uninterrupted as the individual moves from adolescence to adulthood. And so I know we've heard a lot about children with special health care needs already today, but just to briefly give a little bit more background information, more than 30% of adolescents have at least one chronic condition in our country, and 90% of children with chronic conditions live beyond the age of 20. And this number is increasing over time as our healthcare systems are getting better and our services and healthcare for this population is improving. And finally, over 500,000 youth with disabilities or chronic illnesses leave the pediatric health system every year. And so our goal is really to make sure that these youth are prepared for an adult healthcare system and so they can make that transition effectively. And so before I tell you what we did, I want to orient you to our health system so that you have this lens while moving forward. So this is a map of sort of the general area of CHOP, the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and this is where our institution lies. And so when we talk about transitioning these youth, we usually transition them to the adult hospital, which is literally right next door. And although they're separate institutions, it's really just telling the patient to go to the next building. Instead of coming into the children's hospital, they go into an adult hospital. And I like the image here because it almost looks like the walls are touching. So it seems like it should be kind of an easy process. So what did we do? We created an online survey for CHOP providers about their current transition practices, barriers they face to transitioning patients, and facilitators to transition. The survey was sent out through the division chiefs in the Children's Hospital to all social work staff, all advanced practice providers, and an internal transition special interest group. So I'm going to frame the rest of it through these series of questions. So what we really wanted to know broadly were what triggers the transition process for providers in our institution? Are there exceptions to those triggers? So what would make physicians think that patients needed to stay in the care of a pediatrician? Are we asking the correct questions before transfer occurs? So are we setting our youth up to succeed in adult care? Are we following the national guidelines set by the Center for Healthcare Transitions, which I'll go into a little bit further later? What are the barriers to the process? And finally, if we get through all of these questions and we successfully transfer a patient, what happens after this transfer occurs? So our survey had a total of 153 responses. Every division in our hospital had at least one representative fill out the survey. And there are varied provider types who filled out the survey as well. So the first broad question, what triggers transition? And not surprisingly, we found that 88% of our respondents said that age is the trigger for the transition process. And sometimes adult conditions were also a trigger. So if a condition arose in a patient that the pediatric provider felt that they couldn't take care of, that would be a trigger for them that all of the care should move over to an adult system. And so when we talk about age, our follow-up question was, well, what age do you think is appropriate for patients to transfer care to an adult provider? And again, not very surprising that most providers said that between 18 and 21 years of age was an appropriate age to seek care with an adult provider. Some of the providers also noted that they like to keep their patients through college because there was a lot of shifting and movement in their lives then, and that's where that 23% in the above 21 years of age category comes from. Okay, so now we know sort of what the major trigger is, and now we wanted to know what the exception to the trigger, or what the exceptions to those triggers are. So we asked the providers, are there any uniquely pediatric conditions that require care at a children's hospital past 18 years of age? And so 48% of our providers answered yes, and naturally we wanted to know what those conditions would be. So we got this huge variable list of conditions that our providers thought needed to keep their care at a children's hospital. And the ones noted with an asterisk, the respondents noted that they couldn't transfer these patients because there was a lack of adult providers for these conditions at area hospitals. And so, interestingly, these four circled conditions actually have they have adult practices, they have adult providers identified at the hospital next door. So we found that there was just a lack of communication among providers in the same type of illness, and so it was difficult for the providers to know that an adult counterpart existed. So next, we wanted to know if we're asking the correct questions before transfer occurs. So are we really setting these patients up for success? And so we asked providers, are they addressing the legal issues of adulthood, so including medical decision-making, privacy and consent, HIPAA, once these patients turn 18, so they know what their rights are. They know that doctors aren't necessarily allowed to talk to their parents about their condition and things like that. And we found that 40% of our providers aren't addressing these issues at all. And so that means that when the patients move to the adult system, they're not necessarily informed of how it would be different for them. We also asked if our providers assess for decision-making support for patients with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We were sort of shocked to find out that only 50% usually or almost always assess for decision-making support in this population. So when the patient turns 18 and they move on to adult care, a lot of these patients had no idea what services they were eligible for, if they needed to apply for things like guardianship, and our providers didn't know to ask the questions, didn't know how to help the families if they answered in a way that the provider wasn't familiar with. And sort of along those lines, if the provider found out that the family did need a service like guardianship, were the providers referring to legal resources for this population? And again, most providers weren't referring to legal resources at all. So really thinking about how an adult population, a pediatric population, would be in an adult setting without these services would be pretty difficult. And finally, the last question we asked in this broader question is, how often do your patients need to change insurance for an adult provider? And 65% of our providers had no idea whether their patient had to change insurance. And this is particularly important for our sort of health system because although the hospital next door is next door, the largest insurance that CHOP takes isn't actually taken next door for primary care. So the provider never knows if the patient was referred to someone and couldn't go because the insurance wasn't taken. And there's not really a good sort of feedback and mechanism for that. So next, are we following national guidelines? So the National Center for Healthcare Transition has six core elements that they describe as important for ensuring a successful transition. And so the first one of these is a transition policy. So this is that a department, division, program, et cetera, has a policy and that policy is given to patients. So providers are aware of it, patients are aware of it, and everyone sees it. The second core element is a tracking and monitoring system so that the physicians are proactively identifying patients for transfer to an adult provider, and that list is kept up. The third is transition readiness. So this is wondering if providers and clinics are doing readiness assessments with patients to make sure that they have the self-advocacy and self-management skills to really succeed in an adult-centered healthcare system. Next is transition planning. So this is coordinating a transfer of care to the adult provider with other medical specialties. So especially important for children with special health care needs. They often see many specialists. If that care isn't coordinated, they oftentimes fall through the cracks. The biggest one is the actual transfer of care, so the movement from the pediatric system to the adult system. This incorporates many things, including a long-term plan of care for the patient, a medical summary that's created by the pediatric institution that can go with the patient, and finally, transfer completion. So that's that feedback loop, really telling the pediatric institution, this has occurred, the patient is in an adult-centered institution now, they're formally discharged from pediatric care. So we asked our providers what they routinely do in any of these six core elements, and in no category did 50% of respondents, at least 50% of respondents, do any of these things. And also, a few of our respondents said that they do none of these things at all. So again, pretty concerning. And this is just the elements of care, so the transfer itself. So all these administrative tasks that our provider told us were very burdensome, and you can tell that not a lot of providers are having the time to actually do these things. And this was something that we really felt like needed to be focused on just to begin the process. So what are the barriers in the process? So we asked providers to identify the top three barriers that they faced in transferring patients from pediatric to adult care. All of the providers sort of called upon consensus in a way of saying that that was a barrier. So whether it be inter-division consensus on when and how to transfer care, intra-division consensus on whether to transfer care at all, and intra-division consensus on when to start the discussion. So our providers didn't feel like they could be advocates in the realm of successfully transferring their patients. They all relied upon their colleagues to identify a certain time. And if no one identified a time, the patients just weren't being transferred. They were still being seen in a pediatric institution. So I have a few quotes about this particular topic. So other subspecialties continuing to follow the patient, the expectation of the parent and family that they can continue for diabetes care at our institution. One provider said it's hard to discuss transitioning the muscular dystrophy patient's cardiac care to an adult provider if they're going to continue to be followed by a pediatric neuromuscular specialist here at CHOP. And finally, it's difficult if we're suggesting the transfer, but other programs are not. It's often due to parent pressure and not clinical need. And so quickly, these are just some of the other barriers that providers identified in the transition process. So whether it's identifying adult providers, insurance issues, and lots of other things that we've already talked about. So finally, let's say we get through all of that stuff and we successfully transfer the patient. What happens once transfer occurs? So we asked our providers, is the electronic medical record updated once care is transferred for a patient? 65% of them said that no, it's not updated at all. And of that small percentage who said they do update the medical record, we asked them where they put the information. And as you can see, it's scattered about everywhere. 20% said they put it in a progress or consult note, which means that for anyone to find it, they'd have to go search through a medical chart. We find this particularly difficult in the realm of the emergency department. So if a patient has technically been discharged from pediatric care and they come into the emergency room, how is the emergency room going to know that they should really be in an adult hospital? There's no way to know if it's not documented appropriately. So in summary, we have a large and highly variable list of CHOP-defined uniquely pediatric conditions. There's a lack of inter and intra-department consensus, and that's the most significant obstacle to improving the transition process. There are large deficits in communication and medical record sending to adult providers. There's minimal electronic medical record documentation. There is significant policy and procedure variation between divisions, and there's minimal compliance with the national recommendations at our institution. So instead of leaving you on a depressing note saying that we're not doing anything right, I just wanted to share some next steps. The team who came up with this survey and sort of talked to providers just got awarded a grant to create a multidisciplinary consult service for transition for particularly complex patients in our hospital. So the team consists of doctors, a nurse practitioner, a social worker, and a peer advocate. And we partnered with 7 divisions within our institution to refer patients to us. And then we do a complete psychosocial and medical intake and then sort of help the family and patient through some of the difficulties with that transfer of care. So we have 2 buckets of goals, and the first is direct patient services. So we help develop and verify a care plan, an emergency care plan, and a medical summary to take to the adult institution. We help identify potential adult providers. We make sure that those providers take their health insurance. We help with those administrative tasks of transfer. We heard providers say, we don't have time to do this, and that's why it's not getting done. And we've sort of taken on the burden of that. We do a psychosocial and self-care assessment to make sure that patients are ready to transfer care. And we help with care coordination between the 2 institutions. And then the second bucket is sort of infrastructure development. So creating transition policies that are right now just for the department, division, or clinical program, and hopefully one day they'll be institution-wide. We help facilitate provider provider communication and referral networks, so we make sure that adult providers are trusting of the pediatric providers to send them appropriate patients and vice versa. And finally, we help with patient and caregiver educational programs, again, with those self-management and self-care skills to really get them ready for that transfer. Finally, we've developed a medical record best practice alert. So it pops up at an age that the department or division specifies with a bunch of tools and resources to help the provider navigate this process. If you have any more questions about that, I'm happy to talk about it after. Thank you. Thank you.